Podcast, episode 315, Gateway Species.
Oh my god!
I'm a filthy casual Phoenix, Saverin.
I'm an adjective species wolf.
And together, we're not cast.
Oh.
Shiva's dad is in town this week, therefore she is not here. She's still a co-host when she's on. We haven't gotten rid of her. It's not like she doesn't take up too much space or anything. She's just really busy as of late.
We did not downsize her to like a love seat or a sleeper sofa or something. Or
an ottoman. That's what happens if you take the back half off a tar. It's an ottoman and then a chair.
You'd be the ottoman because you're so wee.
Wow. I'm so tiny.
Wee fennec.
Oh, God. Speaking of fennecs, I saw there's a Twitter account called Zootopia Dispatch.
Yes.
It's like Zootopia DPD on the lookout. Oh,
I retweeted that.
Phoenix that would, they ran into Sahara Square and were scattered by the wind. It's like, oh god, it caught in our ears. Ah!
Oh, I know. I thought that I got the mental image immediately. It was just adorable.
So it has been a few days. We have now reviewed our second furry documentary.
Yeah. And
as many weeks, as interesting as that is.
Very documentary, Kura.
Yes. So we're just going to do a quick overview of that, because we're actually going to be releasing our actual review, which is about 18 minutes worth, here very shortly. And actually, it'll be up before this podcast goes out, most likely.
So we liked it. Yay. Moving on.
Furries, the documentary by Eric Reischer. It's really good. It's a positive 101 worthy film.
Positive.
Yes, Fuzz.
Pause.
And we really liked it. And as I would say impolitic put it, it's about 10 times the documentary and one third the space.
Yeah.
Because it's only 33 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers way more things, including actually defining what a fursona is.
Go figure. The more you know.
Because it's different. But anyways, yes, Furry is the documentary. Go to my YouTube channel.
Like and subscribe.
Well, that's where a lot of our it's if we're gonna be doing standalone content, it's gonna end up on my YouTube channel.
Like and subscribe, motherfucker.
Because
do it, faggot.
I have a decent audience so far, and
like and subscribe.
I'm going to inflict my furriness upon them.
I don't know why. I'm just being a dick about your YouTube channel. Like and subscribe.
Plus, I don't want to have to make a separate YouTube channel for Notcast, and then have to manage that too. And yeah. Because then you start from scratch on zero there, and
yeah,
nah.
You might as well. I mean, fuck it. If you know we want to court a YouTube audience, I'm fine with putting a couple short things on there. Yeah, you know, whatever.
Anyways, so it was good. We liked it, and follow them on Twitter at FurryFilm.
Yes.
Other than that, what else have we done this week, Fuzz? Well, there was Fur Affinity.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't do Fur Affinity.
No, nobody.
Fur Affinity did itself, or not.
Actually, no. Hackers did Fur Affinity.
Yeah, so, man.
Okay, so I saw an amusing tweet about this. Or like, so what happened was Fur Affinity's source code was distributed on USB drives at Biggest Little FurCon. And I saw somebody tweet about, man, these super sponsor gifts are getting out of control.
That is a hell of a gift, but I really have to wonder. Those little flip-out USB drives aren't very expensive, and if you get them small enough, they're practically free.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Putting like the source code of a website just so that anybody out there can black hat it up and find exploits in the code, that's really malicious.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guys.
We were talking about this earlier at lunch.
Like, if you don't like Dragoneer, you don't like him. But for fuck's sake, Fur Affinity is still the biggest thing. And yeah, if you want people to go to other sites, nuking Fur Affinity is not how you go about it. You do a superior service. And yeah, it's like, what the hell? Our one submission got deleted, Fuzz. The first time we'd ever actually put something up, the thumbnail for the Fuzz and Savin review for Sona's thing I did last week.
Yeah.
It got deleted. Oh, no.
So apparently they lost about 6 days of data. They recovered some of it. And they did get the rest of the database they had backed up and everything.
Yeah.
They're on a weekly database backup cycle. Which, I mean, it's a fucking huge amount of information. Yeah. So.
Like, if they were doing daily backups, they would be spending all day backing up, because I think it would probably take more than a day to back up.
Yeah.
Space.
You know what's funny is somebody had like added Dragonair on Twitter about, why aren't you using RAID 1 to back it up? And I don't know a lot of technology, but apparently that tweet was so dumb that InfoSec Taylor Swift like screen capped it. It was like, this guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So congratulations. This made Securite.
It's like, it doesn't matter if you have it RAID 1, RAID whatever, if they get access to your data directly, they're just deleting it twice. And that seemed to be what happened.
And I think Nier said it's on a RAID 10 system.
Yeah, it's on a enterprise level backup system, but it's somebody exploited in, found a hole in whatever software that they're using, did some shenanigans. You know, and I've seen a couple people that I follow on Twitter, artists, are like, yeah, I just lost the months worth of uploads or whatever. And like, that mm-hmm. really sucks. Like, that's a big issue.
You know, I saw one. It's a parody account, but it had a good point. It was one of the two furry Seinfeld accounts that said something like, Kramer realizes he can now get out of the YCHs that he bid too much on in the last 6 days.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. Don't do that, kids. It's just a fucking mess. And, you know, there are other places to go. Like, Furry Network's out of beta now. I signed up.
Yeah. Anybody can – you don't need an access key anymore. Anybody can sign
up. It's a very slick-looking website and slightly intimidating because, man, there's UI buttons everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But
I haven't really explored it or Weasel.
Yeah, I basically registered an account so I have my name.
Yeah, I have an account there. I have a For Planet account there.
I mean, it's a thing. And for us, we don't really use FA that much.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like I don't even use
post to Twitter or our Tumblr.
Well, I mean, as a show, we don't use FA that much, but I don't even use it that much individually. Like, I will go through it. I will save some artwork occasionally, but fuck, I can't remember.
Find all the lewd Judes.
Yeah. But, like, the last time I made, like, an update to my journal there was, like, some con I was going to, like, fucking months ago. I don't even remember at this point.
I was, like, I put forth a journal about, like, hey, I was offering to do some, like, short audiobook things
mm-hmm.
for dirt cheap, and nobody ever replied to it, so.
So fuck them, man.
Well, fuck you, man! And I think I'm up to, like, 1,600 submissions right now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how it gets to before I go, ah, fuck, and go through it 60 at a time.
Yeah.
It's like, click the one or two I like, open them up, select all, delete, next page.
Well, like, when I was using Firefox, I had the FA extender, so it was, like, really easy to download shit directly into its... Yeah, Central Plains FurCon is next weekend is my last journal.
That How many years ago?
6 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it was back in, like, October or something like that. November. November it was. Yeah, I wish FA Extender worked better on Chrome. It doesn't have the button that downloads automatically into the individual artist name folders that it does on Firefox.
On Foxfire.
On Foxfire.
Wow, that artist has really expanded. It's good.
Do you use the extender?
No, I hadn't really. I thought they kind of like blocked it off.
No. There's been a bunch of different
like scrapers.
FA scripting type things over the years. Some of them are benevolent and some of them are malicious. They originally had a problem with FA Extender because it wasn't limiting like the number of tabs you could open at once. So it was like a big run on the database, basically.
Yeah.
A few years ago on our older system, that was a problem. But now you can, like, set limitations on how many tabs at once in, like, Firefox or Chrome that you open.
Hmm. I mean, I just, like, see if anything catches my eye, and they go, I don't open everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've seen Tieran's tabs occasionally.
God, I know, right?
He has, like, like, Firefox is taking up 90% of his system RAM, I can guarantee it. That or Chrome, either way, they're both memory hogs.
Are they? Fuck. So is there a non-memory hog browser that I can use on a Windows machine?
Not really.
Not even IE? I mean,
I'm sure you could try to use IE on, like, yeah, you'd use IE on your XP server box, and then you will never have to worry about Magic again because it'll get so much virus it will just die.
I actually use Firefox on my XP machine.
Yeah, if you get the earlier versions, it's actually not bad.
Yeah.
So,
but for whatever reason, now Firefox is running fine on Tyrion's machine, but on mine, which is almost an identical build, it just started running like shit. Like, to the point where, like, YouTube wasn't working. Like, I would go to YouTube, it would start playing, it was like watching Real Player, it would play for a little bit, and then it would skip and judder. I would try to scroll down, it would take, like, a minute, and then scroll down. Like it was that bad, and I was just like, this shouldn't work like this. What the fuck is wrong with it? And I said, fuck it. I uninstalled it. I migrated my desktop, my bookmarks over to Chrome, and I started using Chrome. And I've been using it for a couple weeks now, and it's all right. It seems to be running better than Firefox on my machine, but I don't know. I thought I, at one point, uninstalled and reinstalled it, but maybe I didn't. Maybe I need to just try to do a fresh install or something like that. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, beyond that, what else? What are we doing with our lives?
I'm just working, getting close to AC here. It's something. It's under 50 days.
Anthrocon very soon, and Acon for me is in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. Are you going to be doing like a bunch of stuff there?
We were going to do a panel, but in typical Acon fashion, they never got back to us.
Oh.
They're very neglectful parents. So we'll have our table in the con alley and distribute flyers, and that'll really be it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll be manning the table, sans co-chair, at least on the mornings during the weekend, because...
Does Fiesta have a separate table, or are you...
No. I tried... Again, this is another one of those... I'm agitated. I'm shaking the thing. I'm making noises.
I'm feeling like the whole floor.
It's like, yeah. Again, I tried to. They're like, oh yeah, sure, and never get back to me. So, like, I'm sure if Zap wants to come in for a day, I'll probably have a badge spare for him to get some flyers into my hand, or if anything, I'll have flyers at my table.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up, where we'll get to get stared at by 30,000 people of about maybe 5% are pony fans, but that's all right.
And they're like, Brodies.
Hey, 5%. Well,
what con was that? Oh, it was Con DFW, where the lady picked up one of our adult anthologies and literally hissed. You noticed it. You pointed it out to me. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, what the hell, lady? What are you doing?
Like, cat lady, I guess? I don't know.
She doesn't appreciate her, you know, she likes her cats and not furries. Who knows?
I don't know. But she made this little hiss sound and then put the anthology down, and we were like...
And which one was it even? Because we had the Cat Stories one. Maybe Inhuman Acts, because it had a dog on the cover?
That's too funny, dude. Oh, no.
I was like, no. My spirit animal rejects this book.
God. I don't remember which one it was. But whatever. Yeah, this lady in a regular, non-furry sci-fi con hissed at us.
Well, we've had worse.
We've had worse. Yeah, yeah.
I remember at Acon one year, they're like, they let furries vend here now.
Yeah, that's exactly the guy I was thinking. Because he stood back, put his hands on his hips, and kind of looked quizzically like, huh. He's like,
very disapproving.
I don't know if it was disapproving so much as,
surprise.
That's a thing. Like sort of like you would look at like a homeless man taking a dump in the middle of the crosswalk, you know? You'd just be like, huh. Well, that sure is a thing. I'm going to walk around that.
And then it's like you reply, yeah, they let us off. They don't have to ride in the back of the bus anymore either.
And then we had the fucking little underage shit that like tried to grab one of the adult books off the table and be like, oh, I'm going to look at the board. And I reached out, snatched it out of our hand.
get out.
You know, gave her like 300 paper cuts from every page. That's
why we don't vend at Akon anymore.
Well, that and like the tables are $400.
And sales were shit.
And sales were probably about $400. I don't know. They weren't that much.
It wasn't a pleasant experience.
No, no. Not our demographic is what we learned.
Yeah.
The
too much fur, not enough tentacles, all your characters are of age.
You know. Are you saying something about anime fans?
Not saying, just saying.
Right. Yeah. The underage boys aren't lactating, so
the big titted girls don't have massive dongs.
horse dicks. That's a great song. Anyway, horse dicks, rejected con themes, hashtag.
Yes. Beyond that, it's just been a regular ass week, and we've got a bunch of emails for this show too.
Yeah. Like, hey, we upload shit and suddenly people pay attention. How about that?
Wow. Yeah, the Personas review actually has a lot more views than I kind of expected it to get, as it's kind of a standalone thing off on a YouTube and not just on a regular feed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we get a good number of downloads for any given episode, but this as an extra aside thing actually got a lot of attention. Up to and including being showing up when the guy did an AMA on Reddit.
And he was like, fuck those not-licking freaks. Okay, no, he didn't. I don't want to cast negative aspersions like that.
He handled
on the guy.
It in a very
diplomatic
way. But
he was like, well, they're too busy sucking Kage's cockroach dick. You have to put his whole body in your mouth and just blah, 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 blah. I don't know. You know, honestly, I don't know enough about insects. I don't actually know if cockroaches have dicks.
Thank you, first.
I'm going to actually ask him, dear Uncle Kage, do cockroaches have dicks? And do the females bite them off during mating, as is common in the insect world?
So I got an email here, Fuzz.
If Varka is listening and wants to send us a picture of his cockroach dong that Bad Dragon has probably made.
I think they make something that's like...
It's black and scaly and spidey.
Yeah.
It'll break off in your ass. Because scales.
Fucking bugs have weird sex.
They do, yeah. They open like a portal to another world in your anus.
Yeah, so...
now that's just first, a fox drawn by Bonk.
Actually, I did see a pic today that was like... It was a fox kneeling on the ground, ass in the air, and it's like sucking the universe into its ass. And it asks the little butt, are you in yet? It's like this fox had a black hole anus.
Oh my god, that's great.
Okay, so we're going to move on to emails.
Okay.
Because we can't handle the banter. It's just too much.
Mm.
So, as always, you can email us at notcast@foxeffort.com, or you can contact us on Tumblr anonymously at notcast.tumblr.com and send us asks that way. And we're going to get right into the emails this week because we have a dozen. So, Anonymous asked a question from our Tumblr. How do you make someone understand the difference between depression and just not being happy? I dealt with depression for several years of my life and am still on medication to prevent its return. But now, if I ever mention to my family over the phone or text that I'm unhappy with basically anything in my life, they will freak out saying I'm depressed and start asking whether I'm off my meds or suicidal or anything. I feel like they just hear what they want to hear, not what I'm saying.
Oh, God, that is the most annoying thing. Like, so speaking of someone that has anxiety and also suffers from up and down mood swings due to the hypoglycemia.
Yes, I was. Like
whenever I'm upset or angry about something, sometimes I have to even wonder myself, is it time for a sandwich? Is just a seasonal depressive thing? Or is there actually something wrong in my life? And like for a lot of people, if you don't normally suffer from depression, if you're sad about something and you have a genuine reason to be sad, it's not depression. Like, I was very depressed when my mother died. But
as you kind of would be.
But major death in the family of a close relation is going to make people upset. So that wasn't depression. That was just grieving. But when on the days when I'm sitting there and I'm like, I've got all these great things going in my life, you know. The job is okay. It's not great, but it pays well. I have this wonderful husband, this house, my business. I have friends. But I just feel so alone. And I don't know. It would be so much easier if I could just sleep forever instead of having to deal with anything.
And that's depression.
That's depression. And in my, I go up and down a little bit. Sometimes it's eat a sandwich time. But I do have those bouts where, like, if I get very stressed, it pushes me into depression. Like, frankly, right now, pre-Anthrocon is stressful for Planet, on the For Planet side. And also right now, my day job is very stressful, as I've told Savern in detail off-air. Like, shit's going crazy at my day job. So I've been depressed a lot lately, and I'm actually coming out of it now. And it's just one of those things where, like, I get really, really stressed, and I have anxiety dreams, and then I slip into a depression. And so, as someone sort of in this in a similar situation to you, like, I understand it's hard to tell sometimes, you know, and you have to ask yourself that question. It's like, is this depressed for, like, a reason external to me? Like, job trouble, family member sick, or something like that? Or is it depression that's internal to me because it's just part of my depression and my brain chemistry and stuff like that? And that's kind of how I separate the two.
Yeah. I think, I guess, a way to put it is, like, if you can explain, I'm sad because bullshit thing is happening in my life,
mm-hmm.
and try to get that across. Like, if I say that I'm sad because of a reason, it's because of a reason,
yeah.
not because I'm off my meds. I think that's probably a good way to reassure them.
Yeah. And also don't be off your meds, of course. Yeah,
don't go off your meds.
Just in a general sense. But I understand your frustration in dealing with family. Mental health has been stigmatized for a long time in this country and in Britain, too. You know, that's where the whole stiff upper lip, you know, walk it off kind of culture comes from. You know, and it's at least like they understand that you have a thing and that you're being treated for. I mean, that's a step forward, but a lot of people still don't really understand how mental health works, how it affects a person. So at least they're not trying to be assholes. They're not trying to be annoying. They're just genuinely not educated on this particular issue. So while I understand it is frustrating, try to not let it get to you or hold it against them. You try to explain it, but yeah, and I understand. Yeah, it's going to be a little frustrating. Yeah. Okay. Good question, though.
This next one is another anon email.
Okay. This one is an actual email. Good afternoon, Notcast, unless it isn't. We usually record it evening, our time, but, you know.
Whatever works.
It's afternoon somewhere in the world right now, so fuck it. I wanted to talk about an issue I've been trying to work on with my boyfriend, and I'd like to ask for some advice from you guys. We began dating about a year ago, and for the most part, we've been hitting it off pretty well. He's very mature and typically is very down to earth, but also has a bit of a self-confidence issue. He's not very well endowed, despite reminding him on many occasions that it doesn't matter to me in the slightest, still has an air of nervousness whenever sex is involved. He's mostly submissive, whereas I'm pretty evenly versatile, and feels depressed that he isn't able to penetrate me whenever the mood to switch roles hits. There's also the fact that we swing with certain close friends every now and then. Now, he enjoys group sex as much as I do, but his nervousness keeps him from following through. The select few times he does manage to join in usually only happens after he smokes bud to counteract it, which, as you can imagine, isn't always viable. Is there anything I could do to help him get over his anxiety, or is this just something that'll go away in time? Thanks for any help you can provide. an anonymous tiger. So in part, this, for a lot of people, this is something that goes away in time, that you eventually come to accept yourself and enjoy yourself for what you are, and you're fine. Also, younger people, I mean, performance anxiety is a thing. You know, whether you're under average, average, or a little above average, you know, you're going to have some sort of nerves, you know, for some folks. Some people don't.
I mean, anytime you're going to be naked around somebody new.
Yeah, it's performance anxiety, not being able to top at the required time is not uncommon for guys. And something that for a lot of people experience in time, that kind of goes away. That being said, there are a couple of other things you could do. We've talked about it before on here. If topping your mate is not working out, you don't make it like a life or death thing. Try to relax, kind of pull back a little bit, and you're going to have to help him with this and, like, give him the alternatives, you know.
Yeah.
Toys, big help here. If, you know, let your partner know, if you can't top me yourself, then you can use toys. And they can still, like, put you in that bottom, that submissive mindset, using a toy on you, teasing you. There's also a couple of other...
try different positions.
You could try different positions. I'm also thinking there's other, like, strap-on type things that are hollow, so you could wear them over a penis, so like that your boyfriend could fuck
werewolf.
You. Yeah, the werewolf one, the Cerebrus that you could put in. There's also the other ones that are like just a cock sleeve. Mm-hmm. That are just a standard dick-shaped dick that you could put over. But like the werewolf one, or using like one of the animal toy dildos or something, like that even introduces like a furry aspect into your love life, which, you know, you're furries, you know, so you probably enjoy that, and that would add that extra spice there. But yeah, and that's what I got.
For the group thing, again, it probably boils down to experience and getting comfortable with the participants. I mean, you mentioned that certain close friends every now and then that you swing with. I mean, that's probably not that many people, and it probably does boil down to basically experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, going back to the not being well endowed part could probably be a thing. And I think it would probably help that you get the other participants to, I would guess, play with him as well. And mm-hmm. be like, you know, give him the attention that he would prefer, you know, include him. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if he's nervous that he's like, oh, you're gonna laugh at my undersized, you know,
member.
That, you know, he needs to be made comfortable. And yeah, smoking weed, I'm sure probably it works for him, but some dudes get limp dick. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it depends.
It's not something you want to rely upon when you're going to be fucking.
Yeah. Also, I think what he was saying is it always viable. It's sort of like people don't always have weed on hand either. And yeah, sometimes it has the opposite effect of what you want it to have. So that's what I've got there. Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Okay. So moving on to the next one.
My allergies are going nuts with all the weather.
Yeah.
Change lately.
It's what, May 17th or 18th? May 19th. Ha ha. What day is it?
The calendar sure showed you.
Yeah. And it's like 60 degrees.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking Texas. What the hell?
Yeah.
So, yeah, allergies. I've been using my, getting my Allegra D.
Mm-hmm.
You know. All right, so this, going on to further talk about depression.
Mm-hmm.
New info on depression is the title of this email sent to our inbox. Hello again, long time no write, but your pie episode was timely to another podcast I've recently been listening to. In the episode, you guys joked about going back to nature instead of drugs to treat depression. While I wouldn't suggest going out to eat some fucking grass, as Havern so eloquently put it, there is a growing interest in how our gut bacteria can affect our mood and how to properly feed it. The podcast I listen to is called Destination Health, hosted by Kevin Rutherford. The overall premise of the show centers around health for truckers, but his info easily applies to everyone. He's very well read and is currently taking a course to be certified as a nutritional therapy practitioner, So he knows what he's talking about. He discusses how we getting away from processed foods and eating our historical natural diet helps almost every aspect of our health. In a recent episode, he explained how our gut bacteria produce neurochemicals like dopamine and serotonin, which of course helps regulate mood. Recent studies are starting to show that links between the bacteria and that bacteria and mental issues such as depression and anxiety. I'm not saying the writer you are addressing should stop any medications cold turkey. I'm telling him know that there is a growing wealth of information out there regarding this sort of thing if he wishes to do his own research. This is just one article recently published on the topic. And it's like sciencenews.org, microbes can play mind games. It looks like the study of this specific link between the gut and the brain is still in its infancy, but the results so far are very intriguing. That trucker fox from the upper Midwest, Naray Mooncat.
That's really interesting.
I mean, yeah, there are certain foods that are, you know, known to be like mood elevators and, you know, things like chocolate and whatever can, you know, boost the serotonin in your body and whatever. And yeah, getting away from processed foods is generally just a better idea anyway. You
know? So I read this article.
Okay.
Not long ago.
A
different one. You should probably put that link in the show on the Tumblr. This is borderline. Okay. It's pretty gross. But the article was basically this man hacked his gut to solve his stomach issues, and hacked in a computer hacking body mod kind of sense, not hacked with a knife. So he's like 32, decently healthy, always had stomach issues, IBS, that kind of thing. So he did this experiment where he basically completely replaced his gut flora with someone else's. So first he had to completely cleanse his gut flora, which is killing all the biotics in his system, which is actually quite dangerous because it puts you at some health risk, like your antibodies, you know, your immune system and shit like that. So this is what it is to not try at home, kids.
Don't do this at home, kids.
Yeah. But Google the article. I don't have a link handy. But I stopped reading when it got to the point where basically he had to put someone else's poo
inside him.
He found a way to put it in a pill, but he had to like puree it with like a pestle and mortar or whatever those things are called and stuff like that. And basically populate his gut with the flora from somebody else. And that apparently fixed his stomach problems. And I'm like, it's a neat idea. And it's sort of cyberpunk in that they were like, this man hacked his gut to solve his
certainly
stomach
makes
issues.
It sound sexy in the headline sense.
Yeah. Sexier than, you know, he ate some poo. but I thought it was interesting and vaguely related. But figure I'd share that with you because I thought it was interesting and weird. So, moving on.
So, I'm looking at the article that was linked and talking about how basically that this certain things and like they have a particular example where a town in Canada, Walkerton in Canada, in May 2000, floods caused a small town's water supply to be overrun with dangerous strains of two bacteria, E. coli and Campylobacter. About half the town's population got ill and a handful of people died. For most residents, the illness was short-lived, around 10 days on average. But years later, scientists who had been following the health of the town noticed something surprising, that the rates of depression in Walkerton were clearly and significantly up. And that they were like, it could be related to the widespread thing. So it's a fairly lengthy article, actually. And actually it does bring up the thing about the fecal transplant.
That's what it was. Fecal transplant. Yeah.
You know, and it's actually really, really interesting. And it even has citations. That's important.
Yeah.
So it's like, this isn't just some fucking like hippy dippy bullshit. They've got citations and references to actual like studies and stuff. They have the citations that are always needed, so that's cool. I'll put that in the show notes. I say put it in the show notes. We don't have show notes. We'll put it on the Tumblr.
Okay.
Or tweet about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next one is just a comment from our Patreon.
Okay, so I guess I'll read that. This is a comment on our review post of Fursonas. That was great to hear, but whoa, hearing that bit about Boomer the dog really turned me off it. But hey, I might watch it with some mates if we get bored. I would like to see some fandom-produced video that's good and not wholly tied to fursuits.
Yep.
View, comment, patreon.com, Twitter, Facebook, Patreon, Inc., San Francisco, California.
So, this next one's also yours, Fuzz, and it is a con report from BLFC. It's a lot of text, but not that much.
Why are you making me read this one?
Read it if you want.
Yeah.
Okay,
because I'll yawn, because, like, not because it's boring, but because I could already feel my sinuses.
Do you need a nap, Fuzz? Okay, well, take a nap while I read this, I guess. Con report, BLFC 2016. Hi there, your glorious Snow Leopard Overlord Seraph here. I figured I'd throw a bit of a con report for you folks on the heels of Biggest Little Fur Con in Reno. In the interest of focusing on things that will apply to everyone and not just how I like to con, I'll try to make it a little less first I did this, then I did that, and a little more glorified Yelp review. I've been going to BLFC since year one.
5 stars for the bear party that I went to. No.
Making this my 4th trip, and every year this con still manages to blow away my expectations. In just 4 years, it's absolutely exploded in size and just overtook FC as the 3rd biggest con, next to MFF and AC. Even with the enormous growth, though, it still makes great use of its con space and has tons of room to grow, with the only foreseeable limit being hotel rooms. The theme this year was a bit convoluted, as it was a really good theme, but the details of it weren't conveyed well unless you had really wanted to immerse yourself in it. Last year's theme was Oppressive Utopia, which led to this year's sequel theme of Fallen Utopia, with a tear-it-all-down vibe drawing inspiration from Jet Grind Radio, Borderlands, and Tank Girl. It made for an extremely unique and amazing aesthetic, but the idea of the 3 competing factions fighting over the ambiguous liquid wasn't conveyed as well as I would have hoped. What's the liquid?
Oh, it was something to do with yaks. It was like yak milk or something like that.
Okay. It's hard to really describe the con space in words. Looking at a map, it seemed really small until you actually see it for yourself and just see the scale of everything. The main stage is directly connected to several hangout spots with the dealer's room super close by. This simple little layout actually is a huge effect on making things seem very centralized. While other cons feel like you have to schlep halfway across the hotel to get from one thing to the next, this con manages to take 3,600 people and still feel like a small con. Even when the main stage area was packed with people for the dance competition or closing ceremonies, I can't say my claustrophobic ass ever felt squeezed in. It makes for a fursuiting paradise to have things in so close with so much stuff for fursuiters to do, which shows in them having over 1,100 fursuiters. Jesus Christ. At about 30% of the total attendance. The dealer's room is definitely where BLFC shines, though. This year, it was moved to an enormous 45,000-square-foot room. Jesus Christ!
Wow.
With a very interesting layout that left tons of breathing room and made everything feel open. Rather than being organized into rows and rows of aisles like most cons, the dealer's room was sectioned out to a larger open foyer in the middle, with oversized toys for fursuiters to play around with various streets and alleys of dealers. It made sure every table was extremely visible and easy to find with cleverly named streets. Hey, where's Fox and Moore and Pepper Cody's table? Oh, they're on the corner of Booble Snoot Road and Majestic C Flap Flap Road. And, of course, behind the big black curtain was Hush Alley, with rows of bulges and dongs on display. Despite huge amount of traffic, there was so much room to accommodate it put other dealers' rooms to shame. Yeah, I heard that the layout was a bit weird on the vendor aisle, but the fact that they actually kind of did section out, like, this is where you get the dongs, is actually really smart.
Horse dicks.
Yeah. Keeping with the theme of keeping things centralized, the Con Hotel has a bunch of built-in restaurants with a wide range of tastes and decent price points. But the real star of the dining was off-site at a sushi restaurant about a 10-minute drive. No Con report for BLFC is complete without a huge shout-out for EG2, the go-to spot for all-you-can-eat sushi. The owners know the FurCon crowd very well and are extremely friendly and accommodating, even coming around to our huge tables and joining in for a round of sake bombs on the house. Seriously, that place goes out of their way to be a FurCon event in and of themselves, and I look forward to them every year.
Cool.
Of course, BLFC has no shortage of things to do on site. There was absolutely tons of things to do without setting foot off the GSR. A movie theater, screenings Utopia, of course, a bowling alley, mini golf, and gold carts included in the registration fee. You can't not chuckle watching Cart Fox zip around the track on a go-kart.
I just want to interrupt you for couple of quick things. First of all, GSR is Grand Sierra Resort, or as a furry I saw on Twitter refer to it as German Shepherd Rump. Also, The GSR brought in Zootopia for the con.
Specifically.
Specifically for the con. They're which, like, I thought was very cool.
The furries will be here. They'll want to see this like four times each.
Yeah.
So that is really cool. And of course, the usual casino offerings of slots, blackjack, poker, craps, hookers. It is physically impossible to be bored at this con. I added the part about hookers. Blackjack and hookers.
I didn't even catch that. I just figured Reno. I was like,
okay. You know, blackjack and hookers. No. I added the hooker part. A long-standing complaint about BLFC has been the lack of a proper party floor. Granted, Nevada's explicitly codified zero-fucks-given public drinking laws make it so the entire con is the party, but this year there was an attempt at a party floor. I only got to check out the tail end of it, which led to a little at-con adventure, but that's another story. Still, it's hard not to find a way to party it up at this con. There were a few minor missteps with the con, and a few isolated incidents of AV issues, trouble with asshole normies looking for trouble, etc. Honestly, it doesn't really deserve much going into them, because the con is well aware of the issues, which mostly boiled down to lack of volunteer staff. Really, it was impressive that the con was so self-regulating, with Flair even commenting in the closing ceremonies that there were very few incidents. With so many reports of congoers at other cons doing stupid shit and ruining things for everyone else, it was a breath of fresh air. Issues at the con itself were taken care of quickly, and the few instances of normies trying to start shit with furries was dealt with extreme prejudice by hotel security.
Cool.
Attendees last year remember the image of Ryan Hill getting taken the fuck down on site for making threats on Facebook, so there's no question that hotel security goes to lengths to protect us without ever seeming overbearing. So the TLDR for all this is that BLFC really does live up to its name. It's a con that came out of nowhere with unprecedented growth. It's managed to bring in big con numbers while still managing to keep a small con fill. I really can't recommend it enough for how much it has going for it. It really is in a league of its own. Seraph.
Cool. So
we should totally fucking do a BLFC next year.
Oh, okay.
When is BLFC next year? I need to find, because I bought my tickets for PAX South, and I'm like, you know, I keep hearing all this good shit about BLFC. Like,
I don't think they've announced it yet. At least they had not announced dates officially by the end
of... Because PAX South is the tail end of January next year. And I've already bought my tickets and reserved my room for that. PAX South.
I imagine they're going to try to keep it around the same time frame.
So it was like late March.
No, it was in May. It was like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's perfectly doable.
Yeah.
Because... I'm doing PonyCons next year, but yeah, because I've been hearing so much good stuff about that. I'm like, God damn it, I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Just to go be a random attendee at a FurCon.
Yeah, I mean, Tieran went this year, and he said he had a good time. So
yeah, well, like Guardian went and Teal Fox went, a whole bunch of locals went, and they all seemed like they had a good time.
Mm-hmm. Also, we know a lot of people on. Several people on Fiesta staff went, like Storm went as well. And I think part of the fun for them is being able to go to a con and not be on staff. Although apparently one of them was working in Reg for several hours.
It's one of those things where it's like, it's real hard for me to attend a con and not have some sort of function there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I could go and maybe only volunteer a little in the gaming room or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
call me. Anyways, so we have another email, Fuzz. This is another Anon.
So, you guys were talking about some gifts of the Judy flashlight being fucked by a Nick dildo. I don't suppose you saved them, did you? I kind of want to see them, purely for research. I don't plan on using them for anything dirty, of course, but if you could link to where one could see them, I would appreciate it. That's all you, Savrin, because I haven't seen them.
Well, I saw them posted to a 4chan trash thread.
Mm-hmm.
So, trash is the kind of anything goes Rule 34 board that is not listed on the main list, and they have every kind of thread there you would expect, and this one just happened to be a Zootopia Rule 34 thread, and someone was like, yo, I got both of these, check it out, and they were basically fucking the bunny butt from, the...
Fifth Furry Sex Toy Company.
Yeah, fuck, who was? The ones that have the cactus. Anyways.
We do this every time.
I know, but there's so many of them. They're so hard to recall. Anyways, they using the Nick toy from Bad Dragon and the bunny butt from the other guys and basically making them fuck.
Bunny butt fuck toy.
Help us, Google. But I haven't seen the GIF since, but if I find it, I will like throw it up on I will throw it up somewhere. And provide a link, because I know that people would find that kind of hot.
It just brings me butt plugs because of the word butt in it.
So we'll figure it out.
Let me try Bunny Butt Stroker. I wonder if that'll work.
So while you're looking for that, I'm going to read the next email because this one is a very important question, I suppose. Or perhaps it's an instructive thing. I don't know. It's titled How to Consex. There's no question mark, so perhaps it's just a statement.
Okay.
Dear Notcast, it's a week to Confuzzled 2016, and I'm a little bit excited, though I'm sure you can't tell. Smiley face! Anyway, I've been around long enough to hear the same rules get drilled into Freeze every time a con approaches. 6-2-1, 6 hours sleep, 2 meals, 1 shower a day minimum. Don't ghost, don't think it's funny to pull fire alarms or abuse hotel spaces / equipment, all of which would seem to be common sense. Well, but what has me curious, are there other unwritten rules, particularly surrounding sex at cons? Recently, my Twitter AD timeline has been filled with people trying to organize hookups at various conventions. Some of these are understandable, just two people on Twitter suggesting that they might enjoy hooking up. But other people aren't asking a specific person if they'd like to enjoy some Netflix and myrrh. They're sincerely posting an open casting call for people to sit on their dicks, or it's less likely they're looking to have some fun and more likely they have a desperation not to go through the con without at least one hookup. And that confuses me slightly. Is there something about conventions that furries see as an opportunity to cram as much sex as possible into a short period of time? Is there a status associated with hooking up at a con that I'm not familiar with? Or am I, the prolific porn writer, just underestimating how many people are into casual sex with people they've never met or spoken with before, regardless of any emotional connection, romantic or even friendship existing? Your input will, as always, be appreciated. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Bunny, the former Republic of Haggistopia, Scotland. P.S. Turns out haggis are allergic to whiskey, like those aliens from Signs are with water. So the haggis tried to eat some people, and then they got whiskey poisoning. Aha!
Uh-huh.
So we just need to be drunk on whiskey at all times. So this is just speaking from personal experience here. I've never actually posted onto Twitter, like, looking to hook up. Like, if I know someone's going that I got designs on that I think's cute and I'd suck their cock, I let them know. But I don't just post, hey, this foxhole is open or anything like that. Because that's a bit dangerous. That's actually really sketchy too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of it is furries view fur cons as instances where a lot of people that share a lot of their probably common kinks and common interests, and all of them want to get their dick wet, and makes it really easy to get a lot of casual sex, or at least some casual sex over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
because these people might be single in real life, they don't get a lot of sex in their neighborhood, they're the only gay in the village, and this is an opportunity for them to get fucked or fuck. Nothing.
Well, inherent. I wonder if that's at Primal Hardware.
Primal Hardware, that's right.
Okay.
Primal Hardware, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that there's like a status as to being a fuck toy at cons, but I think it's an opportunity that a lot of furries who don't otherwise have lots of chances to get laid, to get laid. That being said, wrap your junk and don't let anybody stick their dick in you unless they've got a condom.
Yeah.
And you should do the same. No dicking unless there's a condom.
Damn right.
Safe sex. Fuck. So, is it the Primal Hardware bunny butt?
Yep. Humpables, bunny buns.
Yep. So, yeah, it's a bunny butt. So, it was Bad Dragon and Primal Hardware coming together with lube.
Mm-hmm. One size fits most. Are you ready to see what's down the rabbit hole?
Yep.
Neo.
Okay. So, at this point, we're 50 minutes in. We're going to stop and save because we only have a few more emails left. And we will be right back. Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more. With 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code NOT at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping when you enter offer code KNOT. That's KNOT at AdamandEve.com. And we're back. That was 69 Gay Raccoons. No, actually, that's an old as fuck Filk song, and I don't think recordings of that really exist.
Yeah, I've probably got it.
Yeah, probably. old Filk by Corsi.
Yep.
Anyways, if you remember that, you must be a 90s kid.
90s furries, remember? Zeta Creations.
And other dong makers. And actually, Fuzz found a master post on Tumblr that is a master post of all things dong.
Well, it's a master post of fantasy sex toy companies. And of course, the furry ones are top of the list. So this is actually a good resource for non-human dicks.
Yeah, and it's vixiedicks.tumblr.com.
Yeah, it is a big-ass Tumblr URL for the specific post, but I sent it to Saverin, and he could put it in our Tumblr also. And also, for some reason, it's listed as Zeta Paws, but it's actually Zufur.com. It's Zeta Creations. It's the original furry dong company that we had previously talked about. Because they originally had the gel toys.
Which were a bit of a problem after a while.
Yeah, which were sort of like, oh, you shouldn't use those. They're sort of a thing, a possible health risk. But they're actually... Ass cancer, right. But they're actually discontinuing their gel toys. And all of their current shit is 100% medical grade silicone. So I just found out that I can order the exact same werewolf dong that I ordered when I was like 24, but now it's available in
silicone.
In silicone, actually, no, it would have been about 20. It's about 2002, probably. Yeah, they were established in 01, so of course I was like wolf cock, sold.
Yep. As many of us were.
Yes.
You got the discreet tiny little box, and you're like, oh, God. And you ran upstairs and opened it up, and we're like, ha-ha! No one can ever see this.
It's so big.
I will never take this knot.
And I never did. And I've never walked properly since.
I was going to say, not that one, but the Bad Dragon Griffin. Yeah. Anyways.
Tell me more. Parts of Saverin are flexible.
Yes, with patience, lube, and patience
my fist.
And time. yes, I can, in fact, fuck the griffin. And then...
fuck the bunny.
Anyways, that's a bit too TMI. But the next one is an email from, again, Jeeves. But it's your turn, Fuzz. Read.
Okay. Farsodas. Hi, naughty casters. Sorry for the double dose of emails this week, but I also wanted to share my thoughts on your Fursonas documentary review episode. First of all, thanks for doing it. I really enjoyed it and hope you'll do more in a similar vein in the future. Funny you should say that, but
yeah.
Moving on, we've already talked about that. My thoughts, based on what you said, are as follows. I was going to watch it, but based on your assessment, I don't think that I will. With the title Fursonas, I was hoping it was going to be about what it means to be furry for different people, what a fursona is meant to them, and maybe how the variety of fursonas mirrors the variety of people in the furry community. As much as the fandom is known for its creative pursuits, the arts, the stories, the costuming, etc., it is a community of people at its core, just like any other fandom. And I hope that we'd get to explore how a range of those people went about engaging within the fandom as a part of their everyday lives. Needless to say, from your description of its content, I was rather disappointed. I don't fursuit, and cute as they are, my only interest in them comes from having a friend who is a fursuiter and fursuit maker. To me, visible as they are, fursuiting is in no way definitive of the fandom beyond a superficial outside view. It's like saying that wearing Star Trek cosplay is definitive of the Trekkie fandom, as opposed to, you know, actually watching Star Trek. As for Kage, whoa. Whatever my or anyone else's feelings toward him as a high-status figure within the fandom, aren't documentaries supposed to pose both sides of an argument? to allow the public to make up their own mind, if not actually remain objective and impartial to themselves. I can't help but wonder if this guy got a bad grade for failing to follow basic rules of journalistic objectivity, something you'd think would be fairly important in a film/documentary-making class. Finally, you touched upon a point regarding how it seemed somewhat exploitative of this and other documentaries to focus on members of the community, such as Boomer the Dog, who may well be dealing with mental health issues. I admit I never really considered this until you mentioned it, but now that you have, I find it really unsettling. More than anything, my takeaway from your review is that the documentary seems to be nothing of the sort. It isn't what it has been marketed as, a look at the furry fandom through the people who make it up. What it seems to be instead is a look at the furry fandom through the prejudices of the filmmaker, how he sees the fandom, what he sees as important, positively or negatively. One of the filmmaker's main criticisms of Kage seems to be how he displays bias, how he lauds certain qualities of the furry fandom for all to see while denying or decrying others. But in reality, that is exactly what the filmmaker has done with this documentary. He has totally omitted content of actual relevance to the subject of his documentary so that he can force his own prejudices onto the viewership. Thankfully, we did get a great piece of media to show the public about what furries are in 2016. One that tackled preconceptions and prejudice head-on. One that dealt with the positives and negatives and showed a huge array of diversity beyond the superficial. So I encourage everyone to go and watch the best furry documentary to date, Zootopia. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Bunny, Scotland.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's like, we didn't make that to start shit. Basically, it's like, it's a thing we want to talk about. And, you know, perhaps if you can see it for free, you should give it a shot. But right now, I think the only option is to pay $13 for it.
Well, it is going to be...
on Netflix, maybe?
No, what am I trying to say? Screening. It's going to be screening, probably at a couple of other conventions and festivals, because he's been getting it around and stuff like that. And... last I saw his Twitter, the director of Fursonas was talking about trying to get it on some of the streaming media sites like Netflix or Amazon. Mm. So there might be a possibility in the future that you'll just be able to watch it on one of those.
Yeah, but we bit the bullet for you. But yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on. Hey. This one's titled Fursona Creation and Making New Friends. How do? Howdy, Notcast crew, long-time listener, first-time writer. I've been in the fandom for around 5 years now. Despite numerous attempts, I've never been able to create a fursona for myself, a character that I both feel emotionally connected to and would be willing to use as an online avatar. I'm never sure where to start. Because I haven't had a sona, I've never felt comfortable putting myself out into social media. Besides an FA account, I don't really have any other connection to the fandom. If y'all have any advice on character creation or how to start branching out and meeting people in the fandom, I'd appreciate hearing it. Thanks, Anonymous.
Huh.
So, watch Zootopia, and then, you know, the character that you want to fuck the most, maybe that's right. No. you can be like Jeeves here, who decided, I'm not a Roo anymore, I'm a bunny.
Yeah.
And actually, there's this funny thing.
Bunny tails are a lot easier to get under than Roo tails.
Yeah. Also, bunnies have, you know, different systems as opposed to just weird... cloaca things. Anyways, there was actually a thing where...
pouch fucking. It's a whole fetish.
That was actually popping up on Ko a lot in the Zootopia threads until the mods were like, this is too furry, and quashed it.
Aww.
It was that one Weaver comic. It's like, oh, hey, you know, oh, it's what animal in Zootopia would you be? And you go to this website that gives you a random animal, and then another thing that gives you a random job, and then, like, another dice roller to determine your orientation for the character. And that's your Zootopia OC.
Oh,
and
then he's like,
oh, and there's this. And now this is lots of fun. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. This isn't Zootopia. This is furry. I just made a fursona. And the last panel is him as an antelope. And he's like, crap. So, I mean, you can do that and be like, hey, this is a character I'm using as a temporary avatar.
You know, that's really not a bad idea. Throw one together like that. And then if that doesn't feel right to you after a while, you figure out why. Well, I feel more like this. Well, then maybe this animal would appeal to you better.
Or and that there's kind of also thing. People that have multiple characters that they play across multiple sites. Like, for me, Saverin, as my fursona, is just me. Just, you know, shorter and skinnier and maybe a little angrier sometimes.
With the 80 shades.
Yeah.
And the and cool always shirts. Surrounded by neon. Even in a room with no neon in it, there's always a glow. Oh, dude,
I should show you the new shirts that I got.
Ooh.
I got a couple of very 80-tastic shirt. I paid $4 for them at Goodwill. I was very happy.
Nice.
I was like, I just stopped off on the way back from helping Shiva with her car stuff the other day, and I was like,
oh, yeah. So the Doctor's new companion has been announced, and in the clip, she's wearing a very Duran Duran-looking style of T-shirt, and I'm really hoping that she's from the 80s.
That'd be funny.
That would be – I think that would be really awesome.
She'd be like,
what they've
the
been
hell
doing,
is that? Everybody's from
they've been doing contemporary companions for a while now.
But they had companions from the past also –
Right. They've had companions from the past.
Or other planets.
Or other planets or from the future. The second Doctor, like Jamie, was a Highlander. So he was from like the 1700s or something like that. But he also had Zoe, who was from the 22nd century or late 21st century. I don't remember the exact date.
Today.
Yeah. So he had one from the past, one from the future. But I think it'd be really cool for like in 2016, Doctor Who. And they give the Doctor a companion from the 1980s when I remember watching the show originally. I think
that would be pretty cool.
So I'm really hoping.
But going back to the fursona thing, it's like, you know, putting together a character to serve as a temporary avatar, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You're not tied to your fursona unless you want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a character that you like that resonates with you, cool. If you have a multiple, you know, I feel like I'm going to be a cute, sexy skunk girl mage today. Well, you can totally do that. Mm-hmm. I did that on a mud for about 5 years. And,
what?
Yeah, a mud is a multi-user dungeon. It was an MMO before MMOs properly existed.
I didn't know that you were into dungeon play.
It was all text.
Yeah.
And you had to type
I know what a
things
mud is.
Like Q, poo, chi, you know, these shorthand terms to chug purple potions. Because you're getting your ass kicked, and you had to type CQ Spike Zomb to cast powerful spells and destroy things.
And there's a muck, a multi-user cock kingdom.
Yes. Yes, Fuzz, that is exactly what a muck is. And people
that describes
still play
tapestries perfectly,
yeah,
right?
people still play on those today. I know a couple of folks that do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Anyways. As for meeting people in the fandom, as we've always suggested, there is always your state-level furry message boards if you're in a populous state. If you're not, you might have to go a little distance, be willing to travel.
Go to a con. Go to some of those. I mean, we sort of decry them sometimes as being useless panels, but you might actually meet people at them. Like, some cons still have, like, the Fox panel. In the Wolf panel. And where did we see that comment that the Fox panel is just a meat market for wolves?
It's like the Fox panel is where the Wolf panel convenes after the fact.
Right. I think that was on Twitter. Night. Someone made that
probably.
Comment. Yeah. But no, I mean, you know, just the it may seem silly, but like people pick a species for a reason or they're drawn to a species, and once you've got that down, I mean, if you go and meet other people of that species, you may meet other people with like interests. And there's also like a bunch of interest related panels too. I mean,
yeah,
I've heard of like the motor furs panel, yeah, that are really into engines and motorcycles and stuff. Bicycles. There's probably a bicycle furs panel,
yeah, that's
too.
That's the
no
cyclist
offense.
Furs, not the biker furs,
right?
I'm sure that delineation exists.
Not to be confused with the psycho furs, who are in a different convention center entirely. And then there's the psychedelic furs who
are on a different plane entirely.
Yeah. Well, they're playing across town at a bar somewhere.
So basically, you know, roll up a character and just be like, all right, this is going to be... Try them on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fursonas are not permanent.
Just step into their skin.
Yeah. Just don't be the person that, like, fucking changes your ID every few months because you're changing fursona names or whatever.
My character is a titty suit.
Ed Gein?
Yeah, don't be like, oh no, it wasn't me that was an asshole. That was my old character. Yeah. And now my new character is nice and sweet.
Yeah, don't do that, kids. So there's our suggestions. You know, there's always, and hell, I mean, we watched on the Furries doc tonight that there was a guy who's like, I've been involved in the fandom 2 years. I've called myself furry for 2 years. Don't know anybody. I'm going to Fermi for the first time, and I don't know what's going to happen. And he had a good time. So, you know, you do have to take that step out there. But odds are there's probably some furs in your region.
Yeah.
If not your town, if you live in a decent sized city.
Or maybe even in your own family. I'm going to read this thank you to Shiva, who is not here, unfortunately, but we will direct her attention to this email. Mm-hmm. So, Shiva thanks is the subject line. Dear Notcast, this is a personal note of thanks to Shiva for introducing me to a book series I now really like. If you recall way back in a distant past in which you made reference to Patricia Briggs and a description of the coyote shape-shifting coyote character Mercy Thompson, I have now, as of the past month, had a random jolt of memory to that mention and have since started reading. I really like it, as it has been a really long time since I found a story this compelling. The desire to read it is almost a compulsion and intrusion into everyday life now. I no longer have a job because of this book. It's amazing. Thanks. You should have probably kept your job.
That's a 10-10 recommendation, though. Right. It's so fucking good. You don't want to go to work. You must read about the werewolf.
Post that shit up on Goodreads. But I'll totally make sure that Shiva sees that email. So thank you for writing and letting us know. Do you want to take the next Anon question?
All right, so this is Anon question. Are any of the Notcast crew Trekkies? Did you see the new Star Trek teaser for the CBS series?
Yes, I did.
I have seen the logo display for it. I haven't seen that. Do they actually show any, like...
No, it's the logo display, just, but with the zoom to the planets and shit. Yeah.
And the tones, ding, right? Did it have the music? Of course it had the music. Yeah. It better have the fucking music. I know they haven't shown much yet, but I'm so excited for more Star Trek. Not really a fan of the J.J. Abrams movie, so I'm excited this is going to be set in the main universe.
Yes.
So...
That is correct.
I am excited that they're doing another Star Trek series in 2016 or 2017, whenever it comes out.
2017.
Okay, yeah. That's really cool. I think that CBS is fucking up by putting it on an online-only streaming service that you have to pay for.
No, they're putting it on CBS as well.
Are they actually putting it on TV?
It is going to be airing on TV, on CBS, and on their streaming service. Okay,
because I'd seen somewhere that it was only going to be on their streaming service. I'm like, oh, dudes, what are you doing?
No.
Main.
In addition to, it's going to be on network TV.
Channel 11, motherfucker.
Yeah. It's going to be on the local CBS channel. It's also going to be on their app.
All right, that's cool as fuck then. All right, because, you know, did they say what time scale it's going to be in? Is it going to be set during?
We don't know that yet.
You know, is it going to be original series timeline, TNG, DS9?
Enterprise?
Enterprise was set before original series.
Yeah, so you've got anything before Enterprise, original, Next Gen, Voyager, DS9, all together.
Yeah.
In a clump. So who knows? You know,
well, they're using the old style font, so it's probably not going to be set post Voyager.
But they're like new adventures, new crew, new aliens. So
is it going to be Enterprise or is it going to be a different ship?
I don't know. You know what I'm actually thinking about? It's
the Blinterprize with Captain Dirk.
I wonder if they'll do. If it'll be a remake of the original series, like if they recast Kirk and Spock and everybody, and it's new adventures with those characters.
That'd be all right, as long as they kept it pretty close.
They would have to get the right cast. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they did okay in the movies. I mean, Chris Pine and Zach Quinto.
Yeah, I thought those guys were great. I thought that the Nolanverse films are Batman. Abrams' first films are Star Trek.
Yes.
That I thought they were all right films.
Yeah. This is not going to be anything like that, which some people really, really hate those movies. So, like.
Well, they're super action filmy when Star Trek has never been an action filmy.
Right, yeah.
Like, the most action he ever got was, like, the war over Bajor in DS9 when like shit hit the fucking fan between the Dominion and Star Trek. And nerd alert.
Yeah, right now we're well. I mean, also it was like all the
motherfucking Enterprise D comes in with the or wait, no, it was the E. It was the last one, and they fucking giant photon cannon fucking slicing those goddamn Cardassian sons of bitches to death. Ah. Anyways, I thought that was really cool.
No, well,
but it was, and it was Worf as a captain. It was cool.
That was Deep Space Nine, though. Yes, so that so was. It would have been the Defiant.
And no, like no, the, it was the it was the Enterprise like E.
No, it D. was never on TV, though.
No, I remember it was like this big fucking space. Anyways, man, just move on. Maybe I'm remembering something from the films.
Oh, you know what you're probably remembering is the scene in Star Trek First Contact where they're fighting the Borg and like the Defiant is like drifting and damaged and all of a sudden the Enterprise E zooms past her and the Enterprise E is fucking huge because the Defiant is tiny.
Yes.
And it starts like shooting at the Borg cube.
Okay, maybe that was it. I just always remember that was fucking cool.
But like, you know, back in like original series era films, Star Trek 2 was very action oriented.
Yeah.
Star Trek 6 is very action oriented, but it also has a really good story. You know, the whole political thing with the Klingons and the trying to make peace and everything like that. You know, I thought that was really cool. That's like one of my favorite Star Trek big screen movies, is Star Trek 6.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up watching the shit out of Next Generation because
I was 11 when it started.
Yeah, and my sister had the biggest fucking crush on Riker.
Well, I mean, the gay genes was probably in the back of my head or something like that, but I always
only after the beard, though.
Yeah, yeah, he's pretty cool with the beard. Yeah, and he had a beard when I met that motherfucker. Up at Plano a few years ago. He was here for a con.
So, Anonymous, I think your question's been answered.
Yes, so we are Trekkies, like, apparently.
I'm just like, fuck yeah! And then, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. There's your answer. Your question answered.
So, yeah, I think we're looking forward to seeing something new from the Star Trek universe. And, you know, my thought is that I'm actually thinking that they might go back and do something closer to the original series because it's been so long since there was a TV series, that they might kind of go back to the roots
it
to sort of
sense that way.
Reboot the franchise.
Because you can't just be like, oh, it's set in Next Generation, because you have to have something to build from. And it has been like 50 years or so since TNG aired, or not the original series aired.
Yeah, it just had the 50th anniversary, actually this year.
Oh.
66 to 2016 is 50 years. So.
Okay, and last but not least, as we had our massive nerd alert note moment, wanted to ask, how are you guys watching the Furries documentary? I've been looking for some time now, but I can't find out exactly how to watch it. Well, right now, it is in pre-release. We were given code by the director to basically watch it. Obviously, we're not going to distribute that. But basically, we're like, hey, you know, watch our stuff and review it. He is probably going to put it out to a wider audience here soon. He showed it at BLFC. He'll be showing it at Califer. He'll be showing it at AC.
Mm-hmm. And he was selling it in hard copy in the dealer's room at BLFC on DVD.
So maybe if you ask anybody at who was at BLFC if they got a copy, and you can watch it with them. But again, because this podcast will be out after our review, we really liked it. And it was really good. So, you know, do seek out and watch it when it becomes available.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it'll get on one of the streaming or download services, iTunes or Netflix.
So, relating back to that, I wonder, you know, so Furries, the documentary, is airing at AC. I wonder if Fursonas will be. I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. Considering the documentary and guy got himself banned.
Oh, so I wanted to mention, I mentioned this to you off air, but I found it amusing in a really stupid way that somebody that was taking the anti-Kage side of the Fursonas documentary was like, yeah, I mean, apart from Anthrocon, what's Kage ever done for the fandom? And I was just like, apart from, like, the largest fucking furry convention in the world? Like, yeah, that's nothing. What has he done for me lately? You know? is just so weird. Apart from Anthor Khan, what has he done? Apart from curing polio, what has Joseph Salt really done for me, you know?
Yeah, what's he done lately?
Not to make a comparison between curing polio and Anthor Khan, but
yeah,
still, just a scale of like...
It just what has he done lately? Well, he's still chairing the con after X number of years. It just seemed
really stupid.
Really short-sighted.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That is pretty much it. It's 10:22 p.m. and we are at about an hour 16 for this week's episode.
Hey, it actually turned out pretty good.
We recorded a 20-minute or so thing for Fursonas. You should watch that too. It'll be on the feed. So, fun fact, the podcast will be on the RSS feed before the Fursonas review will be, but the YouTube video for the Furries review okay, so the podcast will be up first.
All right.
On the feed, and then the review will go out.
Okay, just like we did for Fursonas.
Yes.
314 Fursonas, 315 Furries.
But I am also going to put it up as a video on my YouTube channel. It's not monetized. It's just up there for people to watch. And that will be available by the time the podcast comes out. We'll tweet about it on the Notcast account because I am a shameless whore. Go to my channel. Give me clicks. Like and subscribe. Other than that, you can always email us at notcast@foxzephyrs.com. You can contact us at notcast.tumblr.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Saverin Drake.
Follow me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf, or my furry bookstore at Fur Planet or Bad Dog Books.
Buy his books. you can also, we're on Fur Affinity, for what that's worth. We don't really, like, the first time we post anything to it, like, the site gets
nuked
and it's our submission.
Well,
I'll put it back up. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But you should follow us on Twitter if you want to know what's up.
Currently.
Yeah. And we also have our Patreon, obviously, patreon.com/notcast. We greatly appreciate every one of you guys that is giving us a little bit every month to just help us along. And maybe we'll start dedicate our thing to be like, it's the BLFC fund or whatever. Make it a big deal where the podcast pays, where the Patreon pays for us to go to the con next year. That'd be cool.
We could go there and we could do some interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Oh God, are we going to become furry media?
I'm a famous podcaster.
I think we're already furry media and have been for about 8 years.
Oh no. What am I doing with my life? Anyways, so on that note,
good night
and fuck the bunny.